Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a caregiver? Can you imagine what it would be like to be a caregiver, day in, day out, 24/7? Have you ever wondered why your family relationships can be so difficult at times? Now, would you like to learn what happens when you feel like giving up, when you feel like throwing in the towel? Tell me, have you ever heard of a book called Elder Care Consultant, Your Guide to Making the Best Choices Possible? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers we've been looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to cope as a caregiver? If you can answer yes, or maybe, to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories today. I'll be introducing you to my co-host. She is an experienced caregiver and a success coach extraordinaire. She has provided us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about caregiving. She's been on the show before, and I'm thrilled to have her back today. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on six networks with over 4 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She has learned the value of hard work in life while being raised on a remote cattle ranch in Arizona and Wyoming. During these early years, she developed a keen sense of service and nurturing towards other living creatures while caring for orphan calves, sick kittens, and her colt, Little George. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show today, Becky Fiola. Hi, Becky. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I'm great. Happy early Thanksgiving.
Yes, we're getting close. Lots of time for turkey talk.
That's right.
I want you to share a little bit with my listeners about how you got into this book writing, Elder Care Consultant. Share a little background, because some of them have never heard you before, and they'd like to learn your story.
Of course. Well, when I was 34 years old and getting married, my husband, who was 39 at the time, was diagnosed with Huntington's disease, which is a degenerative brain disease, and he quickly became symptomatic and started his decline, and that decline took 11 years. So I was his primary caregiver for 11 years, retired from my job and did nothing but that. After his death, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I came up with this great idea that I wanted to create a company that would help other caregivers going through what I went through, have somebody that could take them by the hand and tell them what the resources are that will help them, where they can go, give them advice that unless you've gone through it, you're never going to know you need it. Mm-hmm. And so I started two elder care companies. The first one was a nonprofit, and now I have Assisted Living Advantage. And that led to 10 years in this industry and over 1,000 clients who kept begging me to write a book about it.
Yeah.
And so I went to work on doing that.
How long did it take you to write this book, to put it together?
Well, it was really about a two to three year experience, but that was trying to find an agent and a publisher as well. Mm-hmm. Once I got the publisher, they gave me 4 months to actually write the book, and then it took about another 9 months for, you know, to go through the whole production part of it. Mm-hmm. So really from start to finish about 3 years.
Okay. And now what prompted it was you had been the caregiver, and then things changed dramatically, and it was an incident that was unfortunate, and it resulted in the hospitalizations, and your doctors told you that your husband would never be coming home again. So this led to the search for a professional care facility that would tend to his needs better than you could. And this is something that so many families go through, don't they?
Well, they do. And, you know, everybody's desire is to remain at home. And I mm-hmm. think most yeah. families want to try and help them. But the fact is that's not always going to be your choice, such as with Neil and me. He started becoming violent because of the damage in his brain. And when he went into the hospital, I thought, well, they'll give him new medications and he'll come home. And they told me, no, he's never coming mm-hmm. home with you. And mm-hmm. I find, you know, I get calls all the time, you know, from people, yeah. my husband's in the hospital, and they've told me I have 24 hours. He's not coming home. So
wow.
we have to go to work finding a community uh-huh. right then.
Right. How long? Now, I know you shared on a previous show that his mother had the same Huntington's disease, so it mm-hmm. was something that was hereditary. So he had dealt with it in his own personal life previously to it happening to himself. Once you were found out that he wasn't coming home, how long did you have to find a place for him to go to?
I had 48 hours.
Wow.
And sadly, I knew nothing about these communities. I didn't even know they existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I failed. I went through three homes in 3 days. Neil was 6'5", mobile, and very angry. And
uh-huh.
what I didn't know was that if you don't know what you need to be looking at, you can get some rather, you know, mm-hmm. unreputable places. And the first two places promised me they knew the disease, that they could handle him.
Uh-huh.
And at 1 o'clock the first morning and 2 o'clock the second morning, I got calls, come get your husband.
Oh.
You know, we can't handle him. And that involved calling the police and them picking him up and taking him back to the state psych ward. Very traumatic. And then the
yeah.
hospital would say, well, you have till noon tomorrow to get another place.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was very traumatic.
Okay. So, and you actually, that's what I was thinking. How could you take him home in a car? You couldn't. So you actually had to call
yeah.
the police for assistance.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure at that point, had I been alone with him, it would have been a very bad situation because he didn't understand what was mm-hmm. happening. He just knew there were changes, and he was
uh-huh.
very, very upset about everything. And he wasn't in a rational frame of mind.
Yeah. And so that's something you can look back at now, but gosh, when you're going through it, when an entire family is going through it, and you know, this book that you've written is such an important book. Are they making your book available to people who have this coming up? How can they access this book? Do other people tell them about it?
Well, I have a large support network that is putting it out there. I have a lot of elder care professionals, elder care attorneys, financial mm-hmm. planners, social
okay.
workers
uh-huh.
who are putting the word out there. And then, of course, I'm out there marketing it. But it's now in 13 international countries, selling all over the United uh-huh. States, and mm-hmm. it's picking up momentum. So I hope every family dealing with this ends up with a copy in their hands.
I do too. I think this is a must read for anyone who has to deal with this. But now you're in Phoenix, so you primarily work yourself in the Arizona area. Do other states have this available for people?
Well, they do. They're called assisted living referral agents. But uh-huh. I work primarily Phoenix, but I'm working all over the country as a consultant to help mm-hmm. people through the process. I may not be able to tell them directly, I want you to go to this community, because I don't refer communities I haven't inspected. But mm-hmm. I can give families instructions on how you interview, how you look for
yeah.
communities, mm-hmm. all of that they need to know so that they're making a good choice, an informed choice, and not just grabbing onto the first thing that comes along like I did. So you can prepare yourself.
You know, you wish they were being given more time. You wish they were they were saying a month or 2 months ahead, this is what's mm-hmm. coming, get ready, start doing your research. But a lot of these things just happen, as you said, overnight, don't they?
Well, they do, but I have to be honest with that most families are being told ahead
are they?
Of time.
Uh-huh.
And families, you know, God bless us all, but we tend to be in denial over things.
Okay.
It's not as
yeah.
bad, or, mm-hmm. you know, mom's just having a bad time right now and it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually ends up being that crisis that propels them to finally
yeah.
do something.
Yeah. Yeah, one violent thing happens and everything mm-hmm. changes overnight. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about those difficult discussions that caregivers and families need to have with each other and their loved ones. Communication can be a building block or a weapon of mass destruction. We'll be right back.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Become the next great business success story by getting free PR for your business. That's why January Jones is offering a free copy of the new audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Your copy is free for the asking at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com. Go now.
Welcome back to Real Fast, January Jones, sharing success stories. We're visiting today with my co-host, Becky Fiola. She is the author of The Elder Care Consultant, Your Guide to Making the Best Possible Choices. Now, Becky, in your book, you talk a lot about relationships between all the people who are in the situation. In one section, you stress caregivers to remember that it's not just about you. Let's talk about that.
Well, if you're a caregiver, you tend to get really wrapped up in yourself and the person you're providing care for.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to remember that not only are you significant to that person you're caring for, but you most likely have a spouse, children, other family members and friends who rely on you as well. And
mm-hmm.
the day-to-day responsibilities and decisions you're making affect more people than just yourself and your
mm-hmm.
care recipient. They also have an impact because stress can add to normal pressures of managing your family and your professional relationships. And because of this, those other people are probably feeling pressure and effects of elder care along with you.
Mhm. Mhm. And when you take people on as clients, or when you become someone involved in this, what's the biggest concern that regarding elder care?
Well, I think the biggest concern, boy, that's hard. Mm-hmm. Is number one is that you are doing the best thing for the one that you love. But I think for caregivers, they're terrified about how this commitment is going to change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. I mean, there's just no way around it. But it tends to be that you lose a lot of the relationships you had prior to doing
uh-huh.
this role.
Okay.
And a lot of that comes because there's either a lack of communication. Sometimes caregivers, such as myself, hide what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Neil didn't want anybody to know about his illness for years, and I kept it a secret for years. So how's anybody going to understand? But, you know, you just need to remember that unless you reach out to others and share with them and you develop a way of communicating, those people might not be around at the end of your journey with your care recipient.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a hard course to stay the course, and a lot
mm-hmm.
of people just can't basically do it. They have to give up. Let's talk about some survival tips that, having gone through 11 years of this, you might have. You could have probably written 3 or 4 books on how
right,
to survive
right.
this.
Yeah.
Could you share some tips with our listeners?
Well, as far as your other relationships, you've got to really understand that you have to focus on that communication. You've got to be open and honest. You've got to express your feelings and concerns, but also ask them how they're feeling and what their worries are. There's also an important matter of recognizing and respecting boundaries. You know, not everybody has what it takes to be involved in your journey hands-on. So, you know, not everybody has the type of relationship with the person that you're caring for that they can do that. Or maybe they don't even have the real type of relationship with you that they thought, that you may have thought they did.
Yeah.
I told a lot of people, you know, especially in today's world with like social media, people tend to think that acquaintances are their friends.
Uh-huh.
And they're not. There's a big difference.
Big
I tell
difference.
I tell people, really think about the people that you would reach out to. Identify who is really going to be there for you.
Uh-huh.
And kind of let the others go to the side. And that way you're not focusing all of your energy and precious time on people who aren't really going to be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it frees up a lot of time and ability to maintain those relationships that you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes that's so hard for people because people come into their life and you have a bond and you think it's going to stand the test of time, and many times it just doesn't.
No.
It's disappointing, and it's hard to carry on, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I went through it with Neil. I had a wonderful relationship with his family.
Mm-hmm.
I still do with my mother-in-law. My father-in-law passed away, but when Neil got sick, boy, it changed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty much everybody else in the family, you know, literally turned against me, and I ended up in counseling for years trying to understand what
uh-huh.
happened. And thankfully, I had some really good counselors that were able to explain what happens in people's minds during mm-hmm. a caregiving situation.
Yeah, and a lot of people are reluctant to talk about it. It's, as you said, he didn't want you to tell people for many years, so it kind of becomes like the big secret. And then when the unspeakable is finally spoken, a lot of people are really caught off guard and not aware of what you've been through. Isn't that true?
Well, that's exactly right. He didn't tell anybody for 3 years, and then still a lot of people didn't even know till the very end. And we had old high school and college buddies calling me up wanting to come out for a party, to have a party with Neil. And it's like, are you kidding? you know, they didn't understand. They just had no idea. And, you know, I respect people's rights to their privacy, but I think if you really want that support, you've got to tell people what is happening. And you've got to find somebody that you can share the really bad, dark stuff with, because believe me, there's going to be those moments where it's pretty bad.
Sometimes if you can't find that support in the family or friends to do what you did and to find a counselor that can walk and talk you through it is critical. Otherwise, you're not going to survive, are you?
Right. No, you're not going to. And, you know, my counselors, I had two really good counselors. And, you know, what they told me is that, you know, there's always a tremendous level of denial from most of the people involved in the situation. You know, there are going to be people who say that what the caregiver is telling them is not true. And I see it every day. And the fact is that, you know, these people are protecting themselves. They don't want to feel bad for not, you know, maybe they don't have the personality to help you, or maybe they've got other, you know, important matters that they're not sharing with others. So what happens is they turn on the caregiver, because if they can make you feel bad enough, they'll feel better about not being there for you.
That's pretty deep. That doesn't, and it changes the family dynamics. It changes everything. And then it's so hard to assess your own needs, because you're so involved in taking care of another person. You're involved in keeping it a secret, and it's just, there's so many things that just hit you all at once, and then you have this burnout that happens so many times, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very stressful to the caregiver's body themselves. We talked about this before January. I learned recently that 63% of caregivers pass away before their loved one does.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You know, caregivers put their needs aside. They don't go to doctor's appointments. They don't eat right. They don't get enough sleep. And they're wearing themselves down. And we see, you know, chronic and acute illnesses popping up. And it can be really traumatic. I myself killed my own adrenal glands. I have very low immune capabilities to, you know, be healthy.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting, with his family having a history of it, you would think they would be more attuned to what was happening. But it gets exactly to what you say. There's denial. And people just, they don't want to face the truth, and they don't want to step up to the plate. And that's what happens in so many families. And people tend to not want to talk about it, or put it off, or, you know, do anything to get out of it, right?
Right, right. Well, if they just pretend it's not there, you know, they don't have to do anything. And, you know, usually in one family, there's one person who's willing to step up and say, I will do it. And they do. And you know what? If you demand help and you stand up for yourself, chances are you're going to get that help. But you have to ask for it. But I also want to caution caregivers that when you ask for help, let people help you, because I've also seen where the caregivers then start criticizing and saying, well, that's not the way I would have done it. Well, they didn't do it quite right. And then you're going to drive your help away.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's something you have to really put that in the forefront when someone wants to help. You are advised to take that help in any way you can get it, and never be critical. And I know so many caretakers get kind of possessive, or caregivers get possessive of their patient, right?
Well, and it's funny because, you know, people identify with their work and their jobs. Well, caregiving becomes an identity for people much all the time. So that's how they identify. And, you know, my self-worth comes with how well I'm taking care of this person and what I'm doing here. And, you know, some people feel almost like they're on a pedestal because they're doing this great self-sacrificing thing for another person. And it is, but there's really no glory in sacrificing yourself.
That's a common thing. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, Becky, we have a lot of people listening to us, and I'd like you to go over the 12 signs that it's time for assistance when you're observing someone that you love and that you care about. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered: Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion, by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Also, I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is available at audiblebooks.com. Today, we're visiting with a very priceless personality, my co-host, Becky Fiola. She's been with us before, and her wonderful book, The Elder Care Consultant, Your Guide to Making the Best Choices Possible, is available. Now, Becky, would you share your website information and share with our listeners where they can get your book?
Yes, my website is www.assistedlivingadvantage.com, and the book is available online at Amazon.com. It's in Barnes & Noble, and it's in many local small bookstores in your neighborhood. But Amazon is probably the easiest place to get it.
Okay, and that website is assistedadvantageliving.com?
No, assistedlivingadvantage.com.
Okay, I had the word transposed. Okay, got it. Yeah, we'll post that with your link. Anyone who is going through anything like this, her book is a must read. It's something that will answer pretty much most of your questions and give you a lot of really, really great advice. Now, when someone's listening to our show today and they're dealing with someone who is having early stages of dementia, what are your 12 signs that it's time for assistance?
Well, the first two are pretty critical. There's no question about it. And number one is, can they respond appropriately in an emergency to help themselves or to help others? For instance, if you have a loved one who is at home with you and they are in later stages of dementia, what if you had a heart attack? Are they going to know how to get you help? Or what if the house is on fire? Will they wake the family up?
Yeah.
Or are they leaving the house and wandering? So if you answer, you know, that they are unable to recognize that, they probably need to go to a memory care community.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have a loved one that's living on their own and they are struggling with their medications, that's critical.
Okay.
That can be a life or death situation. I have seen people not take their heart medicines, and I've seen people double up on medications because they forgot they took them 15 minutes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we see people die from that. So
you don't
want to.
And that's so common because, you know, I take my meds and I have them in my box with AM, PM, and I don't think I'm in dementia quite yet, but I screw that up sometimes, you know.
Well,
it's
easy for us that don't have memory issues to mess up.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, anyone could do it, but with a memory, it's critical to if your medication is not correct. What's number three?
Well, I would say that has to do with, are they a fall risk? Has their gait changed? And you know, that's why so many people end up in the hospital and not going home, is they have severely hurt themselves to the point they can't live on their own any longer. A lot of elderly will fall and hit their heads, and then that will cause even more severe memory issues. So let's avoid that. Of course, if somebody needs 24-hour care, trying to keep them at home may be cost, you know, and you may not be able to do it. Having somebody in your house 24/7 to help you provide care usually runs between $10,000 and $15,000 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can usually find a care community sometimes for half of that or even maybe a third of that. So you don't have to go through all of their assets in order to do this. But, you know, one of the big things that, you know, people will tell me, you know, I ask them, is your loved one confused or afraid to be alone?
Yeah.
Sometimes, and it's not always easy to recognize, but sometimes people are starting to have hallucinations. And they look in the mirror and they think somebody's in their house.
Or
they look at an object in the room and maybe their eyesight's getting bad and it feels like somebody's in the house with them. You need to really, when somebody is telling you things like that, you really need to hone in and figure out what it is they're experiencing. Others, you know, they start to isolate themselves from social functions. That might be because their hearing's no longer good and they can't hear the conversation going around a table. Or maybe they're going through where they, you know, they're playing cards, they remember the faces, but they can't remember the people's names, and it's embarrassing to them.
Yeah,
so as they start to isolate, anybody that isolates themselves is going to decline mentally and physically faster than if they're in social functions. We just want to make sure it's appropriate social functions. And then, you know, if they're having an increasing need for help with their bathing, dressing, other personal activities, that's a warning sign. Can they cook and clean and shop without assistance? Are they still driving or are they homebound now? We want to make sure they're able to still, if they would benefit from being out and around people, let's make sure they can get that And in the larger communities, they can. They have transportation provided where they can still be as independent as they were when they were driving. And, you know, are they losing weight? Do you find that you're buying them food, but they're not eating it? Sometimes with dementia, people will forget what food is for. They literally don't know they need to eat to stay alive.
Wow.
And then, you know, when they start to lose weight, we always want to keep a little bit more weight on an elderly person. So if they have that pneumonia or they have that fall, they've got a little bit of reserves in there. You don't want a frail, thin person because they're going to probably be hit a lot harder.
Sure.
And, you know, I find, you know, if you're noticing bruises and scrapes or, you know, anything on your loved one, and they're telling you, it's nothing, I didn't do anything, they probably really don't remember that they hurt themselves. And that's a sign. They're not, that goes to that first one, can they respond appropriately? If they don't know they've hurt themselves, they're not going to ask for help. They're not going to press their button. So those are a few. I'm not sure if I got all 12 in there, but those are a few.
I think you've got, I wrote some down, and you've got so many things that you don't think about. The hallucinations, that's got to be terrifying. And I can understand the isolation that comes from loss of hearing, because sometimes I've been at movie theaters and I can't understand the movie, I get really frustrated. Actually, we've even bought a couple of headsets here at my home for my husband and I, because he likes one level and I like another level.
It is challenging. And then as your eyesight, you know, when you start compounding those senses, you know, the elderly, their taste changes, you know, their eyesight, their hearing, everything starts changing on them, and it can be very disorienting to them.
Well, that's a fascinating interview, especially the numbers on the cost of care, $15,000 to $5,000 a month. That's a big, big number. That's overwhelming. You know, I want to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to finish off with Becky. She's going to share a few more things with us about making the right decisions. It's so hard, and special considerations if you're dealing with a younger person or someone with a traumatic brain injury. We have to talk about those two today. We'll be right back.
With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. The Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channeled journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the Great Success Creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Becky Fiola. She's written a wonderful book, The Elder Care Consultant. Her website is assistedlivingadvantage.com. You can contact her there, and it will also link you to where you can purchase her books. Her books is on Amazon. I wanted to share, Becky, with our listeners that I think it's a fabulous feature of your book, and each chapter, whichever one it is, at the final, the end of the chapter, you have a caregiver survival tip. And this is just a wonderful part of your book, because these are things that you've gone through. You've walked the walk and talked the talk, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. I have. And I thought, you know, just to have a little tidbit at the end that they can walk away with.
Yeah,
kind of summarizes that chapter would be great.
that's brilliant. Now let's talk briefly about, we've been talking about elder care, but it happens sometimes it's a younger person, like your husband. He was in his early 40s when this happened. What are the special needs for a younger person?
Well, it's very different for a younger person. You know, they, number one, more than likely they're going to need care much, much longer than an elderly person.
Uh-huh.
I've seen people spend their entire lives, I'm talking 50, 60 years in a community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What families sometimes don't realize, though, that is as they are growing and changing, they stop being your little child. So if you start caring, you know, if your child was born blind and maybe mentally disabled, they're not going to be, you know, somebody that you can pick up and comfort that way. Their hormones are going to change. Their bodies are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And many times family members don't recognize this, that they become full-blown adults and they need to be around others like them. It's actually very rewarding, no matter what their situation is to be around others the same age, same conditions that can help them. If you don't have those mental needs, you know, to be maybe in a community where they can develop some skills, just learning things how to care for themselves. They may always have to live someplace, but if they can do things for themselves, it gives them a great deal of self-esteem and pride in themselves. So we're not looking at, you know, putting somebody in a community or caring for them until they pass away. We're looking at adapting them to a life where they'll thrive. So it's very different.
And I know, so in our small town, we have several facilities, and they'll go on outings. We'll see them at the park. They'll go to concerts together. It just gives them an energy just to be doing what other young people are doing. And,
exactly.
Yeah, if they're at home, as you said, we talked earlier about isolation. That just is such a negative emotion for them to go through. And, you know, they're with people that can enjoy things in pretty much the same way they can. So it's a bond. And it really, there's lots of laughing and smiling going on.
Well, it is, you know, and they make friendships. They develop deep relationships, not only with the other young adults with them, but their caregivers. You know, usually those caregivers are going to be close to their age too, younger adults working with them. So it's tremendously valuable to them, but also for the parents. You know, parents often think, I'm abandoning my child if they allow, you know, somebody else to step in and help them, and that's not the case. You're helping your child grow. You know, there would be a day in every parent's life where you have to start letting go, and it's the same even, you know, if your child faces some difficulties.
That's such true, wise wise words, great advice. And it also affects the siblings, too, and their families. It kind of is an extended thing. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Briefly address traumatic brain injury.
Well, this, you know, we're seeing an uptick in traumatic brain injuries. A lot of it is because of sports injuries that we're seeing. But young adults, you know, car accidents, you know, and TBI can be mild or severe symptoms that are brief or permanent, and some people improve or they don't improve. But it takes a very specialized community to deal with it. Unfortunately, with a traumatic brain injury, you know, we can have things like comas where a person is unaware and unable to take care of themselves at all, or they can develop seizures and blood infections and behavioral, severe behavioral and emotional problems. So out here, at least, we have communities who dedicate themselves towards traumatic brain injuries to provide that very intense specialized care. And sadly, it's largely young adults we're seeing.
And the other thing, briefly, so many people have Parkinson's disease, and I have several friends that they had one parent who had the Parkinson's, and as you said earlier, they actually outlived their spouse. The spouse had, you know, been the caregiver, and of course, as you said, spouses tend to neglect themselves at times, and so there's a lot of longevity that can come with some of these diseases,
years and years,
and people with these diseases, they're not dealing with dementia. They know what's going on, so.
Well, interestingly, I see couples come to me and say, "We want to move to a community in the next 10 years or whatever. We're going to keep our house, and when my loved one passes, I'll move back to the house. But we don't want to be separated, but it's not safe for us to be in our home any longer." And they go together to a community.
I have several couples that I know who have done that, and it's been a wonderful solution for them. And it's been a wonderful solution for their kids and family. It's always a wonderful solution having you on the show, Becky. And I want to share with our listeners that she'll be back in December. And we're going to be talking, we're going to be doing a series of holiday shows. And so that would be a topic that we can address, dealing with the holidays when you've got a caregiver. And I'm sure a lot of these caregivers, they could use a break during the holidays. And
Holidays are a little bit trying.
we're going to talk about that next month, and looking forward to it. Thank you, Becky, again.
All right, thank you.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Becky. I always love having her on the show. My upcoming guests will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you, just like Becky. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful and help you to be a wonderful caregiver. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World when you can sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories and our struggles and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling, and then you can start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Thank you to my wonderful guest today, Becky Fiola. Remember to go to her website, assistedlivingadvantage.com. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sarantos.
This is Sarantos, and you're listening to January Jones.
We've got the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes. And the song were a love away. I lost my faith after all these heartaches.
Sorontos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Walking yesterday, or although
I'd say that shot I had last night could be very well, you know, it could very well be what it is.
Oh, what a weirdo this guy is. Shooter.
Thank you.
And this idiot goes into this Planned Parenthood building with an AK-47.
Here we are. We have another student in Colorado. You don't need to bring Paris. You've got enough idiots here already. Oh, here.
Yeah.
This is interesting. The Washington Post took a poll and found that voters trust Hillary Clinton more than any of the Republican candidates to handle terrorism, including Trump. Yeah, people are afraid of him. He comes off as a little bit of a loose cannon. And I cannot believe this. Poland will not extradite Roman Polanski on his charges of sex with a child. Poland is giving Roman Polanski safe harbor. Sex with a child. I've got more of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Bad hip. Well, I think I just need to get it replaced. And I knew this was coming. Huh? I knew it was coming because he said it might last 6 months to a year, and I'm in that time frame. And I don't think I want another shot because second shot doesn't work. It only usually works one time. Oh, shit. Oh, let me see.
Oh, my God. Wow. That happened fast.
You gonna have to sign up
soon? I don't know.